Yes, we're here. We're a touch late getting going, as usual, but we're waiting on Greeny. You may dial in during the course of the show. You can all wait with your breath bated for a very special event. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, and it's I Watch Rumours Akimbo, I'm afraid. I've got a fantastic panel. Top left, we've only got a picture of him here because he's naked at the other end of this. Bear that in mind, please, as you listen to this over your popcorn. David Sparks, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, and I'm quite excited to be on this distinguished podcast.
You obviously haven't listened to it before then.
Yeah, what podcast do you think you're on?
Yeah, which, how's life in California and lawyering for Max?
It's great. The lawyering part, you know, we'll talk about another day. But oh, okay. The Mac part is doing great. Having a good time. It's early in the morning. I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I'm looking forward to talking about some stuff with you guys.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for coming along. Next to him, Tom Merritt, back again.
Yes, good to be here. Sorry about ditching you last week. That was entirely my fault.
No, it's okay, mate. It's not a problem. You didn't miss much anyway. It all ended up with Greeny going off on one, of course, but
well, that's what he does.
Well, exactly, that's it. I mean, he'll turn up just in time to derail us and put us about 2 hours overtime when he gets here today. So, and last but by no means least, the breakfast munching Kelly, who turned up on time for the show a day late last week.
Yeah, I did.
You were actually here on time ish.
I really was.
Time plus 24.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that doesn't count then, does it, woman?
Not a bit.
You've been late in the past, but Jesus, that's a new topper.
The whole reason I was disappointed about it is because I never saw the email that the show was the day before, and there was no one here to witness when I sashayed in within like 5 minutes of the new start time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Kelly, you know the two ways you can acceptably arrive late, right? This is a good tip for everybody at home. If you're ever going to show up late for something, you either have to show up looking completely exasperated or completely pissed off. If you just show up with either one of those faces, nobody will bother you. But if you show up smiling late, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's because that's all that Kelly turns up as.
You're right. Yeah, in fact, I don't think it's possible for Kelly to pull either one of those off.
The late comer smiley Kelly Gamont. Not dead, just smiley and late. Right, the week in Apple. It's an iWatch festival of utter rubbish and rumour this week, which, of course, is something that we need to touch on, but I'm not going to do a whole frigging show on it because I really cannot be bothered.
Thank you.
About iWatch rumours. But what I thought would be nice...
iWatch continues.
Exactly. But no, here's the thing. There's a couple of things in it that I like. You know, I thought we could do the... What do you really like? What do you really hate about the iWatch rumours that have been going on? And one of the things that I quite like is the fact that I said quite early on that this was going to be a health-based thing. You know, they're looking at more getting into the market of maybe selling health-adapted equipment for personal use, or they might even go the whole hog and go into hospital-based equipment and use iOS for that. Greeny's dialing in.
You have an incoming call from Will Green.
Not on the quiet line as well.
That's because Greeny has exactly zero stealth.
Now, Greeny, you've got to turn up out of breath and exasperated.
And are we on? Are we going? I was on a conference call. It went on for ages.
No, sorry, mate, we started. David gave us a top tip on arriving late, which you're not adhering to.
Oh, what is it?
You have to arrive exasperated and out of breath.
Oh, my word.
There you go. See, that works that every time. Yeah, you're totally forgiving.
Actually sounded kind of dirty to me.
Yeah, me too. That was kind of not exasperated at all.
Yeah, we started the show already, mate, so don't worry about it. But it's not a problem. We're doing iWatch rumours, and I just thought, my favourite iWatch rumour and your worst iWatch rumour, the ones that you're just kind of like, oh, for God's sake.
Oh, can I go first?
Of course you can.
There's one that's really making me angry. 2.5 inches.
Really?
Yeah. I was kind of hoping for like a band, you know, like one of the
curve type
health bands. The idea of a 2.5 inch screen on my wrist, because you know I'm going to end up buying one. There's no way I'll be able to resist whatever it is that they make. But
of course.
Boy, a big screen on my wrist, I'm not sure.
Greeny, just step away from that 2.5 inches remark that you've got in your brain ready to go.
it occurred to you as well, didn't it?
No, it didn't.
Yeah, I'm with David on that. I don't think, because my concern all along has been all of the people who have talked about how it's going to be a refined pebble, because the pebble is still a thing that is so large on my arm that I would have to hire someone to haul my arm around for me.
No, the pebble's not that big. That's an exaggeration, Kelly.
No, I've put one on. I put one on my arm, and it is a slab of stuff that's on my arm. And it's not, like, for me. I'm not saying, like, for people. But for me, it would be really hard to justify something quite that size on my arm all the time. So I'm with David, where I really want for it to be a band with some sort of display on it, which is all I can really say, because I haven't really been following those rumors. I've been actively trying not to, because I don't care until there's something to actually discuss.
Go on, Tom. You were saying Reuters have said that's.
Yeah, Reuters. I mean, and I was mocking him because I feel the same way, Kelly. It's like, you know what? We'll find out when this gets announced. But mm-hmm. Reuters was saying rectangular. And sort of like the band look to it. And there was an actual fact that may or may not be related to an iWatch, where Sharp was showing off the way they can do a display without having to have circuits in the bezel, so that you can change the shape of the display and make it whatever shape you want. They were showing off in dash car, like you could have a round display for like a speedometer or something. But a lot of people were saying, well, that would be perfect for a watch as well.
A round watch. Now there's an innovation.
Yeah, right. You can even wind it.
A wind up watch. That would be classic if they came out one that's got piezo electrics in it and you have to just turn a dial to get it to go.
That would be awesome. Charge.
There's one of my favorites is the going on the 2.5 inch thing there that David's picked up on, is the mock-ups of the 2.5 inch that have come out. And I've got a couple here for you. The first one is just something that's rather sensible that's been done on Mac Rumors, which is just taking iOS 8 and making it look like it's on 2.5 inches. And I got to say, that's pretty nasty to get started with. And if that really is just 2.5 inches and they've got 6 icons on the screen, that's pretty compressed. But underneath, they've done a crude mock-up, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And they've taken what looks like to be the original, the shuffles, and they've put it on a piece of packing tape on someone's wrist.
Yeah.
And that's probably closer to the real McCoy than we've ever seen so far, I would have said. I mean, I've just got it in my head that Apple have pushed out a patent for curved display.
Do they?
I think they have. They put out a thing for a wrist curved display thing. I've got it in my head that they have, but I mean, I could be completely and utterly wrong, of course. But
yeah, I'm sure they have patents for that stuff. But you know, who the heck knows what they're gonna do? Right. Usually Apple, when they come out with something, it's very well executed. But it's not, when you look at it, it's not all that shocking what they did. Like the
curved
iPad
touch sensor,
basically operating system of the phone.
A curved touch sensor.
Yeah.
I'm
December
right.
2013, it was published.
I see. Was. Everyone thinks I'm a buffoon. But
well,
I'm a buffoon with a memory.
You right about something this time.
Yeah, I'm a buffoon with a memory. So there you go, curved touch display, David. You might be right yet. You might be in. You may not be disappointed, mate.
I was at the gadget show the other day.
All right.
And they were showing up Samsung, I think it was Samsung.
Samsung yeah, and LG have both got one out, yeah.
Was showing off their curved TV display. And, you know, it looked okay, but what's the point? I mean, they were saying, oh, well, if you're sitting, you know, in this area of the room, you can see it better than if you sit in that area of the room. You know, sort of traditionally with TVs, you have to look at them sort of straight on. And I was saying, well, you don't have to do that with this one. You can look around the corner and you can see it. And also they showed one of their super high res, is it 4G displays or something?
Yeah, yeah, 4K.
No, 4K, 4K, 4K. And maybe it's my age, but I couldn't spot that much difference. So I don't know.
How big was the display?
It was massive.
You're talking about being at 50 and 60 inches before you'll see any difference, really, from 1080.
Well, it was a big one.
You've got to be close enough as well to pick out the pixels and see that there's a difference, which is usually pretty difficult to do.
In some ways, who cares about all this? This curved display or whatever. I mean, who really cares? I mean,
yes, it's like,
you were saying then a minute ago about it. Wouldn't it be fun just to have a wind-up watch? So if I was given the option of having either an Apple wind-up, beautifully made watch, or like this sort of techie iWatch, I'd go for the wind-up one every time because, I mean, all you need is to tell the time, surely.
Yes, talking of wind-up screeny, thank you. Why are we even here podcasting about technology? I ask you.
Well, the point I'm making, and I suppose the point that is the point that I really love Apple is they build quality products, and it's not about the technology behind them. It's about the thought and the craftsmanship and you know, all of that sort of stuff. So they don't have to follow Samsung with these great big phones, or they don't have to follow the pack. They innovate, though. But with beauty and a design excellence, and that's what they're all about, surely.
I don't think Apple are followers in any stretch of the imagination. I think the only time they've got close to following was when they pulled out the 7-inch tablet. That seemed a little bit kind of, well, everyone else has bought 7-inch out, maybe we should bring out a 7-inch tablet. But when they did it, it was the best 7-inch tablet out there.
It's because of Tim Cook. He's an idiot, isn't he?
Well, that's your opinion entirely, Greeny. I wouldn't suggest that, but.
Well, you could say the same thing about a phone that you said about a watch, right? Surely all we need to do is make calls on it. But we've figured out how to do a lot more with the phone that, you know, over time. The question is, and I think Greeny's, you know, pointing out an obvious question that nobody's really answered yet, which is what else would we want from a watch? What else is it good for? Is fitness tracking, notifications? You know, I don't think anybody's really got a compelling reason for a smartwatch yet.
Well, that's a good point. And one of the stories is that there's 10 sensors on the watch that are covering 10 different aspects of biometric sensing, which I'm not sure. I mean, blood pressure, I suppose they could do fairly easily, and heart rate they could certainly do from your wrist because that's the way you do it with your own fingers. So it's just whether, and they're talking about a number of different sizes as well. So it would seem that the band has to fit you correctly, from what that would indicate to me. So
maybe that's promising. You know, one of the problems Kelly's talking about is, you know, it's just not going to look good on my wrist, and I think that's true for half the population if it's going to be a big screen. So maybe they do have alternatives.
Well, they're talking about varying sizes, and I've seen a couple of stories now talking about there are differing sizes to have. And I don't think it's just ladies and men's. I get the impression because, I mean, I've got kind of, I've got fairly thick wrists, is the nicest way of putting it. I'm a fat bastard.
Plenty of exercise for those
wrists.
Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, if you pull out something that's got specific sensors in it for specific locations, and I'm thinking particularly where your wristwatch would join at the band at the bottom, that's where they're going to want to take your pulse from, because that's where it's most I want to say biggest volume, but volume's the wrong answer. You know what I mean? It's where it's most prolific and can be measurable. So if you've got a band,
if you're trying to get your pulse, you got to get it where the vein is to track the pulse, and that's on the underside.
Exactly, in that middle bit, and that's where a band is going to struggle to meet on a fat bastard like me. I'm trying to put it nicely, and I can't, so I might as well just say it. Well, there we go.
It's just funny to me because, like, I have the opposite problem, which is teeny little hands attached to a small wrist. And so for me to look at something like this, what I'm hoping...
My wristwatch would be better for measuring the length of your arm.
What I'm hoping will happen is that we will get something besides... I'm trying to figure out how to put it, but it's going to not be the display that we're used to. Everybody's sort of presuming that this band is going to have to do what my iPhone can do with display and screen and beauty, but be crammed down to a small enough size that I can still see it, but it still lives on my wrist. And I don't think that's the approach that Apple would take. Mm. The approach Apple would take is, what can I do? What is the best experience on the wrist? And that's going to have a completely different UI, a completely different display, a completely different form factor, a completely different set of capabilities than what my phone has. And they will work in conjunction. And I think what we'll see between them is a relationship like we saw during WWDC, the relationship between Yosemite and iOS 8, how they work together to help make things better for you. And I think that's the relationship we're going to get. We're not going to get postage stamp sized iOS. That's not how this is going to go.
I'm just thinking about handoff as well, where handoff's going to come in with data from a watch, because there's got to mm-hmm. be something in there about why have they got handoff in there? Because it's not just about typing an email on your phone and then being able to type it on your iPad and then being able to type it on your. If they're handing data as well, there's something in there with that. But
notifications is all I can really think of.
Yeah,
you've got to say bring out a watch with just notifications on it, there's going to be uproar.
Yeah.
Well, I don't expect to be able to do anything from it. You know, that nice calculator watch from the 80s, like. I just don't see that being a possibility. But I think if it notifies me, but then it's also taking a certain amount of, you know, pulse information, the accelerometer keeps track of how many steps I've taken, how many floors up and down I've gone, and it's passing that information to my phone and I can monitor that stuff from my phone, then I think that would be a really useful piece of technology.
How is that useful?
Well, for one thing, I could stop carrying
my fitness. Explain yourself, woman.
Because the wristband will track my steps. It will also track health information for me. Like right now, I don't have to monitor my blood pressure. But if I did, maybe it's because I don't hang out with Will enough. But if I did need to monitor my blood pressure, having a way to do that, tracking my pulse information, tracking any of the kind of stuff that does, is going to all be in one device that is unobtrusive because it's just a band around my wrist, as opposed to having to wear a bunch of other kinds of stuff or carry around a bunch of other kinds of stuff or keep it charged or whatever. I think that would be a much more compelling piece of information, because that's where the HealthKit stuff is going to go.
Kelly's onto it. HealthKit is where you make the watch work. Mm. That's why they rolled it out. The more I hear you talk, the more I'm thinking that is the main reason for that. But Will, you're asking the question, what is HealthKit good for? I think HealthKit's good for a lot of people who actually need to track things like glucose levels, blood pressure, et cetera. It's also good for people who just want to track things like fitness and health and data junkies. I guess the question is, are there enough of those?
Yeah.
What it's going to do is turn... If it comes out, if it happens, people into hypochondriacs. It's mad. I mean, let's be honest. When you hit your 40s anyway, I mean, have you ever like researched what color your wee is or what color your poo is or whether your ears are red or whatever on the internet? It scares the hell out of you.
And I'm pretty sure you could look up a hangnail and find a way that it is terminal.
Could someone Google what color is Will Green's poo?
But the point,
it sounds like you might be a hypochondriac already without the watch.
I don't want a watch to tell me when I'm going to die.
Californians.
That's what it is, isn't it? I do not want a watch to tell me when I'm going to die. I want a watch to tell me, possibly if I got an email, possibly if I got a text, but mainly I want it to tell me the time. I mean, is there anything wrong with that, or am I mad?
Do you remember when you used to have the LCD watches and you used to press them to get the time up? And if you held them for too long, the battery would run out.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, those. Will's going to have one of those. He's going to press it and go, you've only got 5 years left, mate.
That's the next step, isn't it? So it'll monitor your blood pressure and your heart rate and your... La, 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 la. And you put how old you are in and your diet and how much you drink or if you smoke or anything like that.
And then the insurance companies will get the details. You know. It's a conspiracy, I tell you.
What? I don't want to watch Tell Me That. I really do not want
to
watch
Tell Me That. Well, don't buy it then.
When I'm going to die.
So don't get one.
Don't buy it, Luddite. last word on the... on the iWatch goes to the people who then, in that post that we just showed you, managed to put out a lot of mock-up devices here. This is a 12-inch Retina MacBook Pro made out of silver duct tape and some screen printing from a colour printer. And then someone's made their version of the iWatch as well, which is effectively an iPad taped to their wrist. Really good. Well done. As you say, we'll see it when we come out. Can we now call a halt on iWatch rumours? Because we've got Will upset with it for a start as well, which was...
I'm scared by it. Yeah, that's what I am.
Didn't we upset Will when we said, good morning, Will, welcome to the Mac show?
he was flustered. He was exasperated from being late. There we go.
My watch would have told me that.
You know, one last point on the watch, though, is just, you know, prepare yourself, because when it releases, it's not going to sell like an iPhone or an iPad, no matter what they make.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to talk about how, you know, Tim Cook is not Steve Jobs. Just be ready, because it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah. New iMacs, lower price than before. Mm-hmm. These are coming in at $1,299. I don't know what the UK pricing on these is going to be. 21.5-inch iMacs. You're talking $200 cheaper, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And 27-inch iMac starting at $1,799. We've also in the UK had £100 off a Mac Mini, and we've had £20 off an Apple TV, which is quite a lot. I mean, that's down to 79 quid now. So are Apple just kind of as a starting discussion? Are Apple kind of more sensitive about the fact that we're in a bit of a lull in economically, and they feel that they need to right price their equipment rather than ripping us off, which they traditionally have? Or is it just a case of, you know, we're making it cheaper, therefore we'll pass on those savings to the consumers?
I usually look at these price drops when they happen from Apple as we are starting to clear some space for a new line of stuff. That tends to be the pattern. The 1099, 21.5-inch iMac, if you look at the specs, it's particularly lower specs. So that is a little out of character to say, well, we're not just dropping the price on something, we're actually introducing a lower model.
It's a new item in inverted commas.
That one is a little unusual.
Yeah. Bad news if you wanted to change the memory in it and buy a cheap version, because it's all soldered in now. So you've gone right up to the stage that the MacBook Air has. If you buy 8 gig of RAM, that is what's in there, and stiff if you want to change it, because you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it's a little, Tom, what do we do with all these processors? And I don't think it really goes any further than that. I don't think it's, I don't think there's a whole lot to overthink here, I guess, is the deal. I think part of it is looking at, how the iMac is selling versus how the Mini is selling. And I think that people are liking the iMac more because that display is just beautiful. And so they've created an entry-level iMac. And I asked on the Daily Observation show over at Mac Observer why this machine was $1,099 in the US for the entry-level and not $999. For the three-digit, you know, the magic thing, it's the same thing as, like, everything at Starbucks that ends is a price that ends in 95. It's like, a mental thing, like, that three-digit number. And, well, the MacBook Air is $999. So if you're going to get more computer, then it should cost a little bit more money. And so that was kind of the reply I got on that. And I think at $1,099, it's a good machine for the technologically honest, for people who really do want a display and want to be able to do certain things that only a computer will afford them the opportunity to do. But those things aren't necessarily rendering 4K video. They're not mastering, you know, mainstream music, you know, to be released out into the world. They're doing basic stuff.
And to be fair, though, Kelly, they're very
basic
capable
stuff
of
and
doing
one
that.
An iMac, that's it.
But to be fair, they're very capable of doing that. I've got a little tiny iPad Air, and I render video on it quite happily. I use Logic on it without a problem. I use Photoshop on it without a problem. There is more than enough computing power in this little tiny device to do me.
Well, the, you know, the interesting thing is Apple usually doesn't change prices. You know, they'll come out with a new product, but they'll always keep the price at the same. You know, they'll update the model. But I got thinking about the idea of these Retina iMacs we keep hearing about. And then I got thinking, well, if you were going to release a Retina iMac, it's going to be more expensive. So maybe it would make sense to have like a middle of the road non-Retina products. And maybe these are steps in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making it, I mean, one of the things that I've kind of got in my head was the step change, because you used to buy an item, you'd be like, oh, I get the i5 because I can't afford the i7, but the actual pricing change is a lot less now. I mean, it's $200 to go from the i5 to the i7 on the new model. And actually, before, you'd have been talking about going for an i5 to an i7 2 years ago or a year and a half ago as being more like $300. A little bit more, so that step change is different, which is, and again, maybe they're looking at the i5 as being slightly obsolete in its current version, as Tom's saying there, and they're just, you know, let's get rid of all of the i5s because new chips, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Push them out. Mm. Everything must go.
I mean,
gone crazy.
It's a good
Jim Cook's gone crazy.
It's a good you're gonna see him do like a car ad. Get down to Apple now. $12.99. No.
Easy, Tim. Easy. All the computers.
It'll be Phil Schiller, because he'll be like, while Tim's away, these prices are crazy. You know?
Yeah, they're trying to shiv it all so they can buy the new house. well, I mean, the other thing I think is quite a keen pricing, and the timing's pretty good for stocking up during the summer for back to school and stuff as well. You know, kids going off to college needs to take a computer with them. Instead of taking a MacBook now or something, you can send them off with an iMac. Could be. I like the price cut, so I'm going to buy another Apple TV now just on the basis of the fact it's 20 quid cheaper. I don't need one, but you can't pass up savings like that.
I always felt like a little, it was £99?
Yeah, it was £99, so we were paying...
it's $99 here.
Yeah, all right, don't rub it in.
No, but I'm just saying, it's about time they at least moved towards parity.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, don't forget as well, though, you're $99 plus tax.
Yeah.
We're £99 including sales tax at 20%.
VAT,
yeah. So our VAT's, our sales tax is 20%, whereas, I mean, you're only like 9.5%, aren't you, in California?
Yeah.
9%. So we're not a million miles. If you do the conversion, we're probably paying, I mean, so $99 is £60-ish. When you add the 20% onto that, that's knocking us up to probably a lot closer to 100 and... You'd be 120... No, you'd be 100... Yeah, you'd be $115, wouldn't you? $110 for buying it in the States, in California. So never was good at maths. Jesus. Yeah, so I think that's...
Now, if they're traveling on trains towards each other, how does that... Never mind.
Yeah. Where do you bury the survivors?
I think those prices are going to meet in Poughkeepsie.
But when?
Unauthorized third-party chargers may damage iPhone 5 charging circuitry.
Hold on.
Go on.
I was going to say, before you move on...
Oh, go on then.
I discovered that I had bought Amazon Prime.
What, without...
I was aware of, but I had.
Good lad.
So, I've been looking into the Amazon Fire... Is it Fire TV box or something?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the new Fire,
the Fire,
yeah.
And which I assume links with Amazon and is sort of a direct... competitor with the Apple TV, because it's got Netflix, mm-hmm. and all the other stuff as well, hasn't it? Mm. Is there any real difference between the two?
Yes. Or not?
Between Apple TV and Amazon Fire?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because your content's going to be different. What you've purchased won't transfer over. Certainly movies, you're knackered.
I mean, will the Amazon Fire TV thing box give me more than the Apple TV box does?
Do you have Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
Well,
then yes, because you can get all the Amazon Prime video and music through the Fire TV box, and there's no Amazon Prime channel on the Apple TV.
But, and also, he's in the UK, which means that stiff, because you're not getting the Prime movies and you're not getting the music stuff yet for a long time.
So that's what I'm saying. So I've got my Apple TV and it works really good and I love it and all that sort of stuff. If I buy the Amazon box, will I benefit at all, or will it pretty much give me the same content that I'm getting through the Apple TV box?
At the moment, same stuff, because you'll only get the movies that you purchase, and the purchase prices will be very similar to Apple TV, I guess. And you're still on a crap internet connection in Ironbridge, mate, that'll take 2.5 hours before you can even press play.
They send it down the river. They put it in boxes in Wales and sort of ship it down
actually,
the river to us.
Actually, by the time you've got to the point where you can press play without buffering, mate, they probably could have shipped it to you via USPS.
At so that what point, you're saying, we'll all just no be point. Watching movies embedded in our eyeballs.
See, the thing is, though, I can, when I logged into my Prime, well, my new Prime account, which I discovered today, I can watch movies on my Prime account and it's streamed. So I sort of assumed that I don't have to buy them on the Amazon box, that it'll stream as well. A bit it like will. Netflix, I suppose.
Yes.
Is that true? Is that true?
Just like having Netflix.
Yeah.
But the other Amazon thing about the big difference between them right now is games, I think.
15,000 titles with Prime Instant Video for £79 a year.
Is that that's in the US? Is that UK, though?
No, that's UK.
Oh, cool. That's Amazon.
Not too bad. Yeah, UK is £79.
So you got a bit of Netflix mixed in with a bit of purchase as well. But we did a thing the other week, though, that a lot of the stuff that you click on, it says, oh, no, we haven't got that in the Prime. But you can buy it.
Right.
You got to watch
and
it.
And you're not getting access to any of the iTunes stuff, any of the iTunes video, movies, rentals, or anything like that. So that's one of your trade-offs.
Well, that's okay, because I can just flick to my Apple TV if I need to. But I suppose the
point
I'm
asking... Oh, if
you buy
it as an additional device, then I'd say, yeah. I thought you were saying about shall I replace, but yeah.
No, not replace. It's just, I mean, they're only tiny things anyway, aren't they? Just put another little box. But I suppose when I was flicking down the list of the movies that Amazon offer you for streaming, it didn't look that different to what Netflix are offering you. At all, in fact.
I think there's some overlap, but off the top of my head, I can't tell you a dramatic difference between the two, except that there is a, there was a deal recently, and I don't even know if this carries across the water or not, but there was a deal recently where Amazon Prime Video got a stack of HBO content that they're allowed to stream now. So on Amazon Prime, you can watch all of The Sopranos. You can watch, is it The Wire and Boardwalk Empire and a couple of other things, like notable titles that Netflix doesn't have.
If your question is, Greeny, is it worth me paying the extra cash to buy the box? Well, all you're paying for is the extra cash to buy the box, because your Prime is already paid for. It's money that's already gone. So you might as well maximize the content that you can get out of that dollar anyway, is my view.
Do you think so? Well, has anybody got one of these things?
I do, yeah.
Okay. But Tom, what's your thoughts?
On the Fire TV?
Yes.
Yeah. It's really great if you want to watch stuff on Amazon. Otherwise, I don't see the advantage of it over a Roku. The voice search is the only thing that's really different. And that voice search only works right now on the Amazon stuff. They say they're going to roll it out for other apps in the future. But otherwise, it's a little more limited than the Roku, because the Roku can do Amazon. It can do a bunch of services like Netflix and Hulu and Vudu, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that it's worth it yet.
Okay. So I'll keep me £100 and have a few curries and a couple of nights out, I think.
Well, and if that matters to you, it also plays games, which the other ones don't do.
Okay.
Roku plays games too, although Amazon plays more games. And I don't know how you guys feel, but I don't feel like any of the games are really worth it.
That's because you're old, Tom. I'm old too. Gaming, who cares these days? I like a game of backgammon.
I actually like playing games. I just don't like playing Android games on my television.
No. David, you were going to come in with a point there.
Well, just that, Tom, since you've got the various devices, I get the perception, and I've spent some time with a Roku, and I was impressed with it, but I haven't actually bought one. But I get the impression that Apple's a little bit behind right now on the, you know, a hockey puck connected to your TV thing.
Mm.
What's your thought on that?
Well, the big advantage to Apple TV, I feel like, is the AirPlay. Which Roku can do some DLNA type streaming as well. And Chromecast is a much more affordable version if you just want to cast stuff to your television. But I find that the Apple TV, if you've got Apple devices, is definitely the right thing. You can throw iPad stuff up there. You can throw things from your MacBook Pro, anything running current versions of OS X. So if you live in an Apple universe, the Apple TV is going to give you a lot of stuff. If you don't, then probably the Roku would be my pick.
Hmm. Booker in the chat room is saying Amazon is supposed to be picking up production of Ripper Street for the future because the BBC cancelled it, of course, and I think they've relented. There's going to be a season 3. But I got to say, that's one of the best TV shows that we've produced in these shores for some time.
It is. So. It's boring.
Oh, shut up, Greenie.
No, I'm not. Well, I suppose it's all about...
I will hang your Skype call up, boy.
It's again?
I will hang your Skype call up. How dare you? Ripper Street's great.
It is boring. It's just like this sort of Victorian rehash of Sherlock Holmes. I mean, that's all it is. No wonder they cancelled it.
Oh, okay, mate. Each to his own, eh, Greenie? Each to his own.
I suppose so. I'm right on that one, though.
The Bash is coming up. It's July 11th and 12th. If you'd like to come, then we'd love to have you. Please get yourself online to britishnetwork.com/bash tickets. The curry is on the 10th, the 11th, and it's a £10 deposit. You get your £10 back, though, when we get the bill. So don't worry about that. It'll come off your bill. It's a meet over at the Kismet Curry House at about 6 o'clock. We've got a little private room to ourselves. Milan's going to be there pulling beers and giving ciders and wines and spirits out for people that want them. And also there's going to be loads of tureens around with little starters in them, so you can sit and have a munch as we go through and chit-chat before we get the main course down. If you want to bring kids, that's fine as well, because my two will be there for definite. They love the Courier Cows. And then on the 12th, we've got the Bash. That's £25. That pays for the rental of the hall. That pays for all the food that you can possibly manage in eating. And Leanne's doing it again this year, who did it last year. And the food was just unbelievable last year. And most people left with extra because there was tons left over. And also there is all the beer and all the wines and all the ciders and all that kind of stuff that you want to drink. I'm not doing spirits, but there'll be tons of wine and cider and beer. So you won't have to buy anything on the day. There's no raffle tickets to buy. There's no nothing else. You can come with absolutely nothing in your pocket and you'll have everything provided for the whole day. That's what your 25 quid gets. We've got sack races. We've got egg and spoon races. We've got the World Card Cutting Championships again. Scarlett Neighbour defending her title, which she whisked away from all the adults, beaten by a 7-year-old. Damn. she'll be there, and it's a family day. Someone said to me at the London Mac user group the other week when I was there, I don't know if I want to go to a geek's day. It's not a geek's day. It's a family fun day, and we just sit around and chill out and have some good times. And it was a rare old time last year. Space hopper races were the thing. We're trying to get hold of some more space hoppers because Aaron Claydon can't come this year, and he had the space hoppers, so... do come 11th and 12th of July. Get yourself to britishnetwork.com/bash tickets and order your tickets now. The curry is filling up. I wouldn't much longer if I were you. Bash tickets, you're okay to buy them the same week. Don't worry about it. But I could do with knowing if you're coming because I've got to order the food off Leanne. So, okay. Last story, I suppose. There's not been a huge amount. Expansion of manual controls for iPhone photographers. Now, I picked this one because I'm a photographer, of course. And I do enjoy my phone. The only thing is, my Nokia Lumia 1020, I've forgotten it. I've walked out of the house with it 3 times this week. The only reason that I noticed I hadn't got it wasn't because I wanted to make a phone call. It was because I wanted to take a picture with it. Expansion of photography stuff and improvement of the camera has got to be an absolute essential for the next iPhone. There's tons of other stuff that you can go do with it. I mean, how many people here have got an iPhone? And how many use it as their compact camera as opposed to taking out another camera on day outs and that kind of stuff?
Yep. Yeah, I've got another camera, but the iPhone gets most of my photography these days.
Mm.
Mine too.
Yeah, same here.
And do you feel it gives it a good enough day out camera?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the iPhone 5S is a great camera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the video looks better than any video camera I've ever owned. And then you add the slow-mo and all the other stuff. It's great.
It is good. I mean, the slow-mo is excellent. And you guys have got lots of sun, especially Tom. Tom lives on the surface of the sun, what it felt like when I was there anyway. I couldn't see. I walked around with my eyes closed.
You brought in extra sun when you visited.
Damn, that was bright. I've never seen anything so bright.
It was pretty crazy that day.
I couldn't get any sunglasses either. I had to walk around with glasses on. So. The extra controls are nice, but if they're going to go manic with the HDR stuff again and the high dynamic range, that does look really unnatural at times. And I've seen Don McAllister's tweeted out a few pictures this week from his trip round Liverpool and Glasgow on the Mac cruise. And it's very stark HDR at the moment that's coming out of the camera.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around that. So Don is on the cruise that's going through the UK, and he's taking tourist pictures in Liverpool?
Yeah, exactly. I said to him, I bet you've popped home when you docked at Liverpool to go and check something, like you've left the gas on or something like that. And he said, no, I did go home. And he went home because he wanted to download a copy of iOS 8 to play with it on the cruise. So he got off the cruise ship, went home, Jeez. Downloaded iOS 8, and then came back on the cruise ship again.
Well done. Hometown.
Yeah. Christ knows how much he's had to pay for a cruise around Liverpool. When he lives there anyway. Very committed. Very committed. And third-party chargers are also going to damage iPhone. We started that one earlier on. Is anyone using a third-party charger?
Yeah.
You are? And mm-hmm. Have you damaged your iPhone?
I don't think so. Everything yeah. seems to work okay.
Apparently, if you look in next to the processor, the A6 processor, you can find a bit there that gets a bit brown and a bit gunky and a bit charred.
Well, I'm not using like a no-name $2 charger off of eBay. I bought one from Skosh with the MFI sticker.
Is it and... So it's approved, is it?
Yeah.
Right.
So it is a third party, but it's a sanctioned third party. It's not, you know, I didn't buy it off a dude on the street for a buck and a half or whatever. So, yeah, maybe the real problem here is that they're not naming any names and saying it's mono price chargers that are going to screw up your phone.
Oh, is that the one? Is that, are you going to, you do know the libel laws are different in the UK, right?
I said as an example.
Oh, okay. As an example, not so, that they are.
Yeah, because Monoprice is a commonly available... Monoprice is a site, I guess they don't ship internationally, but they're a really good resource for a reasonably priced cable, whatever that cable may be, from HDMI to whatever. I have a few of their cables in my house. So I've never had an issue with them, but I've never bought any of the electrical stuff from them, like charging cables or any of that kind of stuff. I've never bought any of those. It's mostly been HDMI because I think $50 for a cable is highway robbery. So yeah. I buy HDMI cables from Monoprice instead. But I think as long as the thing that I didn't see when I was looking at, because I looked at a couple of articles about this, and I didn't see if they were actually saying any charger that wasn't made by Apple, or if what they're saying is, if you bought a sketchy third-party charger, it may be giving you trouble. So I don't know that they've necessarily made that abundantly clear.
Well, it's just saying warning consumers against third-party power adapters which are not approved. Safety issues such as burns, yeah. electric pollutions, third-party chargers have not been approved by Apple, may also be responsible for causing damage to one of the chips in the iPhone 5.
Okay, so it is the you see them on eBay all the time, you know, on a bulk rate from, you know, you'll be looking at lightning cables and it'll be like the Apple cable, people are selling them for $10 to $15 and other brands that are known like a Belkin cable or a Griffin cable or Skosh cable, you know, those are going to be like maybe $5 to $10. And then there's the cable that's like 79 cents. Mm-hmm. And that one is probably the one that they're talking about.
chat room's agreeing with you. They've got an 8-year-old $7 HDMI cable that they've had with no issues, says Bronwyn. $50 for a cable is a dumb thing to expect. Third-party chargers work just fine for my stuff, says Bookery. Bookery doesn't like HDR. Mark Shepard says, I think the iPhone camera will never be ahead of the game as long as it's not allowed to occupy more depth than the slim case allows, which is a good point. I think they're going for their thinness constantly, and their technology will suffer at some point if they're not careful.
Yeah, but you have to admit, the idea of giving manual control over the f-stop and a lot of these other things that we've never had before is going to result in some really interesting apps and some great pictures.
But they can't be. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can be restricting the f-stop in an optical way. I'm just wondering whether they're doing that electronically a little bit, because the shutters on those things aren't. I mean, they're already so tiny. I can't believe that they're actually getting an f-stop variation on it that's correctly applied physically.
Yeah, that's probably the wrong metric. But
no, there's a lot of those.
And exposure, you can definitely, and because you really can't control that now.
Anything that's more control over the camera is going to be a plus, because look at the amazing stuff that people do with it now.
Yeah, shutter speed, again, is another one that's electronically controlled already anyway, isn't it? Because it's just turning on sensors and off again. So I'm finding it hard to understand how they're going to improve the camera from what they currently have without making the phone thicker, which is where Nokia had the problem. And they just said, well, we're going to make a thicker phone, and that was the end of it. But Apple have kind of pushed themselves down this path of everything's got to be thinner. It's got to be getting thinner. It's 10 millimeters thin as opposed to thick, and that's a U-turn that they've got to make at some point if they want to expand the tech, surely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just thought. This show is sponsored by the Network Union. They're absolutely fabulous. If you work in an IT large company, then they'll help you with your BT, MPLS WAN, SIP, Ethernet connectivity, all of that kind of stuff. If you're a new customer or a BT customer already, it doesn't make any difference to you whatsoever. Get in touch with the Network Union and they'll become an extra layer of support between you and BT. You'll still have direct connection with them for your bill and all that thing. Nothing changes. Same contract and support that you've got, but you can charge your account management to Network Union as opposed to going direct through BT. If you're a small enterprise, then business broadband, that kind of stuff, they can check out for you what the fibre upgrades are available for you, what call packages or internet packages you can have. And you also get BT Office 365 and Everything Everywhere Mobile as well, supported by them. So go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and click on the Network Union. Give them your email address. They'll just contact you to find out what it is that you actually want from them. And then they'll tell you whether they can help you or not. But they're a really good bunch. And they sponsor the Patreon giveaway as well. And this month we're going to give away an Apple TV, I think, because they've come down in price, and why not? If you're a Patreon subscriber, you'll be automatically taken into the draw, the free prize draw. If you'd like to sponsor us, that's great. Patreon.com/British Tech Network. Tom Merritt, I think, is in a position to buy Patreon now. It's been so useful for him.
Very close.
Patreon.com/British Tech Network. If you'd like to give us a couple of quid here and there just to keep us going, we won't be drinking it. We will be putting it into new lighting and all that kind of stuff. And the Northern Studio is going to do Pocket Show and Gamer Show. So Paul Wheatley will be taking those as live broadcasts as well. So you get to see the chat room, join in, interact, etc. So thanks very much for everyone who's donated. It's been brilliant. And of course, we've got UK2, because UK2 are fantastic. They give us all the bandwidth for the shows. All the stuff that comes out to you is through their pipes. And we've got unlimited storage space and we've got unlimited bandwidth. So you can have as many downloads as a show as you want. And we've got every show we've ever produced is sat on the server and you can go and get it. It's all free of charge thanks to UK2. And you get great deals as well. If you buy domains or if you buy VPS, VPN, dedicated servers, those kind of things, you'll get discounts on them from us as well. Use the offer codes that are on the sponsors page again. And thanks, UK2, because we would have been lost without you 5 years ago when bandwidth was really bloody expensive, let alone now. Right, it's time for the cool things. By request, we're going to start off with Dave. Have you got something that's cool for us, mate?
Yes, I do. I just bought something. I'm having so much fun with it. Have you guys heard of the automatic device for your car?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's in the UK or not. I guess I should have looked that up before I started yakking about it. But it's, you know, everybody has the little plug in the car that the mechanic can plug into you when you get the check engine light and it gives them the details of what it is. But they've never really done much with that. And there's a company at automatic.com. They have a little device that plugs right into that port, and it has an iPhone app. So it gives you all sorts of data about your vehicle. It tells you, like, it, if you have the check engine light, it tells you what's wrong with it. But it also monitors your usage of petrol, and it gives you your gas mileage. It gives you, it has a crash thing in there. So if you crash, it'll call a loved one or the police for you. And they have an if this then that channel, which is really powerful. So once you've got if this then that connection to your car, wow, just start thinking about the things you can do. For instance, if I turn my car on when I'm near my work, go to Launch Center Pro and launch the podcast app. You know, you can all this crazy stuff you can do with your car. So it's adding my car to my automation circle, and the whole thing, it's $100. There's no subscription. You just plug it in and it works. And I really love it.
I think I'm sharing the right thing here, David. But it says the automatic is only available in US right now. But mm-hmm. Here's the good news. They're working hard to support other countries soon. So
I'm sorry about that.
We can look out for it.
Hey, boy, you're going to want to get one of these as soon as they come over. It's a lot of fun.
But that's okay. We're about 50% US mm-hmm. listeners. So that's grand.
Yeah. And it does say on their fact that you can email support@automatic.com and ask to be added to the international mailing list. So if you really are interested,
cool,
you can shoot them a note and they'll add you to the list to let you know that the new one is ready for where you are.
No subscription.
Kelly, do you have one of these?
I do not. I've heard of it. I honestly don't drive enough for it to be useful to me.
No, desk jockey.
So, but the idea of it to me is very cool.
Well, the if this, then that stuff is what really pushes it over for me, because then my car is contextually aware of where I am. It can do a lot of things for me, and I haven't got it all figured out yet. I just got mine, but I'll be thinking and writing about this more.
No, good. Thanks, awesome, mate. We'll keep an eye out for that one. I'm going to add myself to the mailing list. David, where can we get a hold of you just in case you have to drop off the call?
Go to maxsparky.com, and you'll find all of my various enterprises.
Excellent, mate. I know you've got to get to work, so if you feel like you need to go, you just slink away, mate. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Thanks for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it as well.
Thanks for having me.
No, pleasure. I hope you come back. I hope we can put you off. Mr. Merritt, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm going to talk about an app I've been using called Big Oven. It's also got a website called bigoven.com. And the idea is not only getting good recipe ideas, but if you see something you want to eat on the web, there's a button that you can import it in, and then it makes your grocery list out of it. So if you're like, okay, I'm going to cook some steak, I want to do a little kale salad, whatever it is you're eating, you can create your grocery list right out of there. And I do all the cooking these days because my wife's been working a lot of hours, working late. And it's incredibly handy to just be able to like have that created all in once. And it's got a really nice app interface as well. It's all stored in the cloud. So you go from the tablet to the phone to the web and everything's all in one place.
Have you done a show in your jammies yet, mate?
Not that you know of, no.
Good
answer.
I work from home as well, mate. And there's days I get up at 5 o'clock and I'll put in a 12-hour day quite happily, but I'm still in my jammies by the time it comes to around 7 p.m. at night. And I'll go upstairs, get showered and put a new set of pajamas on. You know you've done them with pajama bottoms on, haven't you?
I don't.
You just pull a jacket on over the top.
What?
Okay, I'm not going to
get pajama bottoms. I only own jogging pants.
I don't have pajama bottoms.
I'm not going to get a confession, clearly. Yeah, it's in a gamut.
I definitely don't wear socks. I'll put it that way.
Okay. That's as far as we're getting with him. Kelly, what have you got?
Ankles, man.
It's an app, isn't it? As well, that's the thing. That's the Apple tie. There's an app in the app store.
Yeah,
no,
the Big Oven app is available for iOS. It's available for Android, too, I think.
And Windows Phone, according to their site.
No kidding. I didn't know that. Nice.
I just perked up there.
Yeah, there you go.
That's why I pointed it out.
Yeah, good one. Thank you. What have you got for us, Kel?
So I have an app. You guys, I don't know if the UK has them, but in the US, we've seen ads on TV occasionally for Lumosity, which claims to train your brain. And there's an alternate app for that for me that's called Elevate. And the website is elevateapp.com. And the reason that I knew about it in the first place is because I know one of the designers over there is a friend of mine. And so full disclosure, I'm personally invested in this being awesome, but he did some of the UI pieces of it. And I really enjoy playing it. And it's another one of these, you play some games and it helps flex your brain a little bit. And this one I really enjoy. I've tried the Lumosity stuff and it's okay. The Elevate stuff is nice. And it's another where I believe it's free. And then once you have it, there's some in-app stuff that you can do. It's available on iOS and on Android. And what you do is you tell it the stuff that you want to do. So I want to improve my skill at remembering people's names, or I want to be able to concentrate for more than 8.5 seconds. Actually, I want to be able to concentrate for 8.5 squirrel. That would be me. So what you do is you pick the stuff, the skills you want to improve. And it doesn't just say like, do you want to improve reading comprehension? Do you want to improve? Like, it gives you a nicer, it's presented really nicely when you try to talk about it. So it'll say, do you want to be better at remembering names, and not just, do you want to improve your memory? So it gives you some sort of specific stuff, and then you get a personalized training program, the stuff that you want. It gives you the personalized workout for your brain. And I like using it. It's a beautiful application. It's a lot of fun to play with. And it got featured on the App Store as one of the best apps. If you look on iTunes at the best apps from May, I think is what they call it. Elevate is one that made it on the list. And I really like it. And I really like it aside from the fact that I know someone who worked on it. So,
excellent. That's my pick. Shame it's not on Windows phones, is Adam. It is. It's a shame. I mean,
yeah, it's not, but it does have availability on iOS and Android. So that's excellent. Good.
Greeny, what have you got for us, boy? You're on mute, boy.
You remember you have a pick, right?
No, he's on mute.
Oh, okay.
Oh, his thing's crapped out again. The battery keeps running out, I think. I'll do mine.
Oh.
I'll do mine. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Yay.
I don't know how many people use this or not. It's Caffeine, which is a simple app that's available in the Mac App Store. And I've got to say, of all the apps that I run, I use this actively once a day on every Mac I own. And when we do the shows, because the shows are like an hour long, the last thing I want is that the Mac's crapping out or the screen's going off. So all the Macs have got Caffeine running. And if you look at my screen there, you can't actually see it because it's off the top of the screen, unfortunately. But Caffeine's just a little coffee cup that sits at the top, and it's an application you get to start at login. And when you want to make sure that your screensaver doesn't come on, and you want to make sure that you can walk back to and from something and it doesn't blip off and you have to put your password in again, you just click on the coffee cup goes full, and that's it. You can, it stays on until you take it off. You can also set parameters, so you can say, I want it to be on for indefinitely, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and then it'll go switch off and switch off completely, and your screensaver will kick in. And it's free. And the thing is, you can get it from the Mac App Store. You get free in there, it's fine. So you've got it on 5 computers straight away, regardless. But you can actually go to the Mac App, their store, which is lightheadsw.com, and get Caffeine down there as much as you want. And it's free of charge there, too. So I can't recommend it highly enough. It's one of those apps that I couldn't live without it. And every time I start a new computer up, the first application I download and put on is Caffeine. because I want to sit there and install stuff. And while the stuff's installing, the last thing I want is the screensaver kicking in. It's the first app I put in. But I don't know if I've ever recommended it before or whether anyone's recommended it on the show, but it's a goodie. That and Alfred app, two essentials for me.
It's one of those little, it's very much a microwave app. Like, once you get it and you first hear about it and you install it, maybe you use it like once in a while, and then you hit that moment of, oh, it totally does this for me, and then it's running all the time, and then all you have to do is click on it. And then, like, when you get the new computer or you log in on a different account or whatever and it's not there anymore, you're like, what is wrong with my computer? Oh, I'm just not running the thing that I run all the time. And I too recommend Caffeine. Caffeine's a great little, it's one of those single serve utilities. Like, a lot of stuff tries to be a Swiss Army knife, and anything that has like a single purpose and executes that single purpose really well, I'm always pleased by.
Excellent. Now, Greeny's battery has run out on his furry thing, so he's going to mime his pick.
No, can you hear me? No?
Oh, bugger again. Oh, I'm 1 week when that crap's out, dude, we're going to have a game of charades.
I want an interpretive dance.
Yes.
Definitely.
We can do that. When I was growing up, one of my favorite films, and still is Indiana Jones.
Of course it is.
Bloody as brilliant. Quality film.
It is, true class, isn't it?
And, I knew you had at least one redeeming quality, Will.
Say again, sorry.
It's, go on.
I'm making fun of you. Go ahead.
Kelly, shush up on everyone else's pick, eh? Go on, Greeny. For God's sake, I've got to go and pick the kids up in 10 minutes.
Oh, okay, right. Okay. So after what's his name? Harrison Ford had that injury in Star Wars.
Yes.
I was concerned. And I apparently the rumours are that in order for him to do Star Wars, he in the contract, they had to sign up to two extra Indiana Joneses, because that's what his love is, apparently. So if you're into it and you want to sort of keep abreast of the news and stuff, there's a great podcast. It's free and it's super and professional, called IndieCast. IndieCast. And that is my pick. It's absolutely superb. And it'll keep you sort of bang up to date with all the latest news and gossip around Indiana Jones.
Oh, right. So it's a total Indiana Jones podcast.
Yep. Doesn't discuss anything else. And they have... They interview the producer, the directors, just absolutely everything about Indiana Jones is in this podcast. And the nice thing about it, it's not like an amateur thing. It's really professional. And it's got all the sort of, sound bites and movie music and everything. Wonderful.
Now, I love Indiana Jones, and I'm sure there's an awful lot of facts that can be found about Indiana Jones, but how the hell do you get 180? They've done more episodes about just Indiana Jones than you've done about Mac, mate.
Well, I applaud them for that.
189 episodes about Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Got a bit of back listening to do then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apparently... there's rumours that Bradley Cooper's going to be Indiana Jones in Indiana Jones 5, but it's not true. It's not true.
Don't toy with me, Rankin.
Not going to happen. You can't. There is only one Indy. You've got a son of Indy. That's the only way you're going to get Bradley Cooper in, not Indy. You can't. It's not like Doctor Who. You can't have the seven.
Young Indiana Jones didn't suck.
The seven iterations of Indy. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
No, I don't need that, but... that would be fun, though.
Are the Wookiees going to be on the IndieCast?
I think the nice thing with Indiana Jones is, sort of as he's aged, sort of timeline-wise, they've kept it... So if you look at it, his age is relative to each installment of the film.
He's getting older, yeah, with the film, in the right age groupings, yeah.
Yeah, so, the next one might be, I don't know, whatever, 70s, I suppose, or late 60s or something like that.
That'd be cool.
So, yeah, I think I'll do it. And so the big rumours are that he wouldn't do Star Wars until they said yes to two more indies.
Bronwyn says, that's reminded me, how is your scar from the whip doing, Ewan? It's one of them's permanent, I think. One of them's gone, but the other one's... the one here, the long one's disappeared now, but the one at the bottom, the little tiny welt, is permanent, I think. Might have done myself proper damage. For those that didn't listen, I bought an 8-foot bullwhip just because I thought it'd be fun to be Indiana Jones, and I cracked it, but I cracked my back instead, unfortunately, with it. I took a tiny piece of skin.
That's harsh.
It's vicious, actually. I thought it would be one of those things you could leave lying around, but I've got an air rifle, and I'd rather leave the air rifle around than the bullwhip, because if Ellis gets hold of that, God, be flailing someone's skin off. Brilliant. Where can we get... Have I forgotten anything? I feel like I've forgotten something, but I haven't, I think. Where can we get a hold of you? Thomas.
TomMerritt.com, two R's, two T's. All my stuff is collected there, and of particular interest probably to folks watching this would be the Daily Tech News Show, which is at dailytechnewsshow.com.
Brilliant, mate. Excellent, excellent, excellent. And they can support you at patreon.com/DTNS?
/AceDetect. Oh, A-C-E-D-E-T.
Excellent, mate. And do support Tom, because it's a great show. It's on the list. I struggle to listen every day because I don't have 45 minutes.
I just backed your Patreon, by the way.
Oh, mate, you shouldn't have done that. You come on the show.
Yeah, you know what? Share the wealth. And I'm leading by example. So everybody out there, back this network's Patreon as well, because he deserves it. It's good stuff here.
I did a video this week, so I put up and posted it, because they said that videos get more donations. So
yeah, definitely.
I'm going to put that up. Yeah, thanks, man. Do appreciate that. You shouldn't have, though. Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso, and I also host the Tuwa Talkcast and Ask Tuwa, a live show where you can bring us your tech questions. And I do a little bit of writing over at the Mac Observer.
And you've put in the chat room, Harrison Ford is now older than Sean Connery was in The Last Crusade.
Yep.
Now older than his dad, so that's going to be interesting.
Mm. Yep.
They can't have Germans in the next one, because he's got to be old enough to, if they're going to do that tracking thing that Greeny says, the war's over.
Yeah.
Surely. And Greeny, well,
they can have Germans.
Well, they can have Germans, absolutely, but they'll be recovering Germans. It'll be post-war
and
Berlin.
There's the show title.
It'll be Spetsnaz and all the Iron Curtain thing, won't it?
Yeah, Cold War stuff.
Yeah. It'll be Rusky. Well, because they got the Ruskies in last time, didn't they, with the old what's her name? Kate Blanchett. Yeah, she was the Rusky eye, that's the point. Yeah. And Grinny, where are you, sir?
BritishMac.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at BritishMac.
Good, man. Podcast coming soon?
Yeah. I'm working my ass off at the moment, if I'm honest with you. I'm going through a bit of a career change, and so I'm trying to finish up one job and move on to the next one. So I'm just sort of absolutely non-stop at the moment.
Nice to be busy, though, mate. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, no, that's true. So I need to get to the studio. I haven't been to the studio in probably 2 months, maybe.
Oh,
something
Christ.
Like that. It's ridiculous. But I will go back there and get a decent microphone that doesn't run out of batteries and knock another one out.
Good man. And you come into the bash, aren't you?
Absolutely,
you're in.
Yeah.
You've got I'll your ticket. There. You're in there. So, Grinny will be here with the kids.
Yeah, if that's okay.
Under 16's a free of charge, mate.
Well, last year, my children had such a nice time. And, you know, you had the space upper thing. It was such a beautiful day, and you had, like, toys knocking about, and it was great. It was really good. So
fabulous.
I just want to back up what Ewan was saying. It is super family friendly, and if you've got children and you want a great day out, a proper great day out, then you know, buy tickets from Bash. It's brilliant.
Tom and Eileen are coming next year.
Every year we're coming next year.
But the difference is you'll be coming on your own private plane next year, Thomas.
Yeah, right. I don't think so. I gotta pay Jenny too, you know.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm gonna book a flight on Ace Detect Air.
Oh.
Because that's a moneymaker. Start an airline.
Yeah, it's a free flight, but you've got to pay $3,000 to use the toilet.
Yeah, I'm going to do a Ryanair thing, exactly.
Yeah. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. I've got to go and pick the kids up. We'll see you again next week. Au revoir.